Hey Sharks fans, welcome to another conversation on TealTownUSA.com. With us today is Eddie Jones, podcaster for DucksandPucks.com and the Forever Mighty postgame show, as we discuss the Ducks, how they stack up against the Sharks, and maybe a little bit about some Jersey talk. Welcome to another Teal Town conversation here on TealTownUSA.com. I am Eric Kura. You can always find me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. Joining me alongside Ian Reed.
Hello.
And also joining us to get us to know our enemy, I guess you could say, for round one of this 2018 Stanley Cup playoffs, Eddie Jones from Ducks and Pucks. How are you, good sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great to have you with us. It's always nice to have the friendly banter before we want to beat the crap out of everybody in 7 days. All right. So, first off, let's talk about the websites that you work for and what you all do down there.
Yeah, so me and my co-host Mike Walters, he's been running Ducks and Pucks. He set up the blog for the last, I believe, 4 or 5 years. And I used to write for Pucks for Feather, who do through Fansided. And then I reached out to him, wanted to do a podcast, and now we've been doing our podcast down there, the Ducks and Pucks podcast, for about four years now, and it's been a journey. It's been crazy. Been building it up. It's been fun. I don't write anymore, but I do the show there. And then we recently just started a post game show because it's so in demand now for people to get content right after the games, and we do a lot of that now with the Forever Mighty post game show, just getting some content out there at the end of the game. So it's been fun. It's been a journey this season, but it's exciting getting those two out and going on.
Good to have you. Good to see that the Ducks are getting well represented on online and in the know. So let's talk about Anaheim. Had a great run at the end. Definitely struggled early on with the injuries and such. And
yeah,
but another great run in the second half of the year, especially from March and April.
Yeah, they had went, I believe, I looked it up earlier, since they got Kessler and Getzlaff back, or specifically Ryan Kessler on December 27th, they had gone 28-12-5. So they'd been on a tear, one of the top, I believe, top six, top seven teams in the National Hockey League from that span after Christmas. And things just started turning around. They were inconsistent here and there. They had a couple games. They didn't really put together a big winning streak, but they were able to put together a good record, which was important. And the big final games were the last five here, where they were able to rattle off five straight wins. They beat the Kings, the Avs, and Minnesota to really get into the playoffs. And, of course, they got some help on the other side with the Sharks losing five of their last six. But it's been a journey. It's been a journey all season. The beginning was so bleak. The Ducks started somehow above 500 with having Fowler, Lindholm, Kessler, Getzlaff, all of the lineup at different times. Raquel, I believe, was out here and there. So it's been crazy. Here we get to the playoffs, and we're still dealing with injury issues with Fowler and Gibson questionable. Fowler's out 4 to 6 weeks. So it's been crazy, but it's definitely exciting to be back in the playoffs, because I don't know if everybody expected that to be here at the midpoint of the season.
Definitely. And is Gibson going to start, or are we going to see Ryan Miller get going?
So Eric Stevens put out today on Twitter that Gibson was on the ice, and he might be playing for game one. The hope would be, because Miller played back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday to finish the season, and I would think that they wouldn't do that if they thought that he had any chance to go in game one. But then again, I don't really know. The good thing is he's skating, but it's always those questionable upper body injuries that you never really get a lot of information on. He got hit by Landeskog in the game against Colorado. A little bit of a high-headed Kessler pushed him into the crease. So you're always worried there that it's a concussion or it's something involving the head, and those always start with the day-to-day upper body injury. So still haven't heard what it is. I'm fearing that's what it could be, but all signs point to him starting for game one.
Got it. Ian?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the injuries coming in. I think it's kind of interesting because we've kind of both had this injury. Ours has kind of come at the end of the season, where you kind of got yours out of the way early. Yeah. You know, Gibson aside, and Fowler, who's back now that has made the biggest impact to get the Ducks, you know, to where they are today. Obviously, you know, I think it's like death taxes Ducks are going to pass the Sharks in the playoff picture the last week of the season. Which returning player do you give most of the credit to?
Well, it has to be, in my opinion, Ryan Getzlaf. Just how great he's played since coming back from – he had a fractured zygomatic bone, I believe. He got hit with a puck in the face. He came back just before Christmas, and he's been lights out. He has, I think, 61 points in the 56 games that he's played. So he's been on fire. He led the NHL in assists per game. I mean, he's always a difference maker when he gets on the ice. And everybody in Anaheim likes to talk about Corey Perry and how he's slowed down and he's not the player he once was anymore. And a lot of that is true. And I think he gets a lot of criticism because of his contract. And they don't really look at his production in comparison to what he can actually do. But Ryan Getzlaf just continues to produce no matter the age. I mean, he's one of the few bigger, slow guys that can really slow down the game and really still play at an elite level despite the change in the game today and how fast it is. So he has to be the guy. He's really the easy choice if you had to pick a guy who's been injured, who's come back and made a real difference.
So in that sense, let's go with Corey Perry in the fact that he has slowed down a little bit, yes, but you also have some supporting players that have done wonders while he's kind of been slowing down, while Getzlaf, you know, was out, while Kessler was out. You guys have a nice core, and Sharks coach Peter DeBoer even mentioned they have Vermette on their fourth line. I think they're pretty good depth wise.
Yeah, the depth is there. It's for me, it's the consistency of that depth. And a lot of the question marks this season has been Ryan Kessler at center on that second line. And he's not really 100% after coming back from hip surgery in the offseason last year. And he hasn't looked it. He's been struggling with it all season. And that's been a real hamper on that second line that used to be so reliable for the Ducks and now has been very good in some games and then very poor in others, and that's Cogliano, Kessler, and Silfverberg. So that's going to be a line that needs to step up, but the depth is there. The third line, the really remade new third line that the Ducks didn't have until this season, obviously, with the Sammy Vatanen trade, was Adam Henrik with Andre Kasha and Nick Ritchie. And that, at times, has been the Ducks' best line. But at other games, it's really disappeared. And through the stretch here to win these last five games, they've been on point, and Andre Kasha has been a huge player. So I think the depth is there, like you'd said. They, you know, Peter DeBoer, like you said, had mentioned they have the depth, and they have the guys who can hurt you throughout the lineup with Antoine Vermette and Derek Grant and those types of guys on the fourth line. But it's the consistency for me that has to be there if the Ducks are going to make any push, even to get out of the first round or any farther.
How important, like, because obviously people are going to look at Ryan Kessler's number, and I don't think people realize how important Ryan Kessler still is to this team. So they're going to look as, you know, he played, I think, 44-ish games this season. I think he only has like 14, yeah, 15 points. But
yeah,
I mean, how important is Kessler still to this team at this juncture?
Yeah, he's still important in the sense that, I mean, he's never a guy that's relied on for points. So mm-hmm. You know, the production has been down, but a lot of that, again, is due to just his lack of mobility. I mean, he's a guy that still takes most practice days off because he's rehabbing from his injury. So it's obvious that he still has some issues with that. But, I mean, he's been able to shut down some star players on occasion. I mean, Connor McDavid, the last game the Ducks played the Oilers, I believe he did a great job of him and his line shutting him down. And that's his main role. And that's going to be the big question mark going into the series is I have him – probably against Peter Kane and Jonas Donskoy if they line up that way. And that's going to be a tough task for him. He's going to be really relied upon to shadow Pavelski and make sure he doesn't get a lot of opportunities. And it's tough. I mean, he's done it on occasion, but over a seven-game series in a grinding series that we all know this is going to be, I think it's going to be interesting to see how he does. But he's just so important to this team ever since he got acquired, because he's that piece they never had. You know, Ryan Getzlaf doesn't get a lot of credit for the defense he brings to this team because of all the offense and the assists and everything he puts up. But Kessler's been that needed piece where he's just been – it's always been called the shutdown line on Anaheim since it's been put together, and it's always been so reliable. So if they can come out and be good, that's going to be extremely important.
Yeah, I really like Henrik. We mentioned it on our post game how Henrik will be an X factor going into this series. Defensively, yes, we know about Cam Fowler. He's going to be out, but you guys still have a solid defensive core, including Shark hater, I guess you could say, Kevin Bieksa, in there. But your defense corps has played pretty solid in the last few weeks or so. Tell us about what you expect defensively and if there's anything matchup-wise you would see them going up against.
Yeah, it's really worrying right now with Cam Fowler out of the lineup, because for the most part during the regular season, it was Hampus Lindholm and Josh Manson, and that was your go-to pairing. Those were the guys you would see eat the lion's share of minutes for the Ducks. And that would always be a pairing you could rely on late in games, and they're just always going to be good. And then when Kevin Bieksa and Francois Beauchemin were in the lineup, we saw Beauchemin with Montour and Fowler with Bieksa, and that was just a mess. It didn't work. The Ducks didn't have really two pairings they could rely on. And then when they switched to Fowler with Montour, it all of a sudden gave them this new top pairing that they could roll out and have two really good pairings. It didn't really matter what they put on the bottom one, and they could have a reliable top four for the first time in a long time. And now with Fowler out, you have Beauchemin with Montour going into the playoffs. It's not something we're really happy about. I talked with Ian on the show before this that Paul Martin with Brent Burns was the same kind of way we feel about Francois Beauchemin with Brandon Montour, where you know you're definitely okay with Burns and Montour and what they can bring, but you're a little bit worried about what Paul Martin and what Francois Beauchemin are going to add to that pairing or take away. That's a huge worry. The biggest concern is that bottom pairing going into game one. The Ducks have been rolling with Marcus Pettersson and Andy Bolinsky, two rookies this year. And if you're going to throw that in as a bottom pairing in game one of a series against the San Jose Sharks, that's going to be tough. That's a lot to ask for two kids in their first NHL playoffs. Kevin Bieksa looks like he'll be back from hand surgery, could be ready to go for game one. He's kind of in the same status as John Gibson, as he could be ready for game one. And it makes it, I guess, a little bit better having Pettersson with Bieksa. But it's a tough matchup, because if you look at what the Sharks have right now and you compare their top pairing, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe their top pairing is Paul Martin and Brent Burns. And if you're going to compare that to Hampus Lindholm and Josh Manson, the slight edge, I think, goes to the Ducks, just because you know what you have with Josh Manson and Hampus Lindholm. And Paul Martin's a little bit of a mystery on that line, but the star power is with Brent Burns. I mean, he's the best defender that both of these teams have to offer. The second pairing, I think the Sharks get an edge because you've got Mark-Edward Vlasic and Justin Braun, and I feel like that's a lot more reliable than having Francois Beauchemin on a pairing with Brandon Montour. I think if you have Fowler in there, it's a little bit closer. I think it's you can have an argument about that, but with Francois Beauchemin on that pairing, I don't think it's close. And then the bottom pairing is where the Sharks take a big edge, because I would rather rely on Brendan Dillon and Dylan DeMello than have two kids who have never played a playoff game before, and Andy Bolinsky and Marcus Pettersson going in. And it doesn't mean they're going to do bad, but that's a lot to ask. I mean, you're throwing them into the fire in a game one against this team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's definitely going to be an interesting thing to watch on the Duck side, because, you know, there's a lot of familiarity. Like, you know, I said, you know, Dylan DeMello is not always every Sharks, and Brandon Dillon at the same, you know, not the favorite of the fan for Sharks defensemen, but there's a familiarity there, and they played together for, you know, they have a ton of games under their belt. So it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, how those bottom pairs match out. You were talking about kids. So a kid that I was kind of curious about, you know, Troy Terry just came over from Denver, Olympian. Do you expect that he's going to see some action in the playoffs, and what are you expecting from Troy Terry?
He's such an interesting case, because we're all happy to see him come over. He's a highly touted prospect because of his success in the World Juniors and with Denver, and even in the Olympics this year, that, you know, everybody was really hyped on what he could provide. He came in against Vancouver in his debut and played a pretty good game. He had a couple chances, but he only played about 12 minutes on the third line. But we were all excited to see more of him. And then the Ducks go into the next game against the Kings, which is arguably the toughest game and the most important game of the season for them at that point. And he didn't play. And it came out after the game that it was maybe because he had an injury. Eric Stevens had put out that he might have a nagging injury. A lot of us just thought, well, it's the Kings and it's a tough game. Randy Carlyle and Bob Murray usually favor veterans like Jason Chimera, Chris Kelly in those types of situations. But then he was also out for the game against Colorado, which was also an important game. He was out for the game against Minnesota, which was an important game. The Ducks clinched, and we all thought he'd be back against Dallas, which, of course, he wasn't. And then he's in for the final game of the season, but you know, normally you'd say, okay, you know, maybe we're going to get an update about his injury and we're going to know what happened. No update there. And he comes in with Antoine Vermette, who had been scratched for a very long time before this. And it just felt like they were getting him in just to get him another shot. Not necessarily saying he's coming back from injury and we're going to give him a chance. And he played good in that game. He got arguably his best chance in the two games that he's played. And he looks like a creative player whenever he's on the ice. And I'm always all for having skill guys on your fourth line if you're going to play them there. I think it's a lot better than playing Chris Kelly or Jason Schmera on that fourth line. I feel like it's definitely they can bring more. As for the playoffs, with Randy Carlyle, I just don't see it. I feel like he's very afraid to play these young kids in these big games, and he always goes to the Jason Schmeres and the Chris Kellys and Antoine Vermette and those types of guys. I don't think we see him unless the Ducks are struggling, then there's an option. But you know, I just don't get it, because they brought him up and they burned a year off his ELC and have played him two games. And if he's not going to play any important playoff games, it's like you've burned that year now for him to play two regular season games and not really provide much. So I hope we see him, but I honestly don't think that he gets in the lineup.
Any other guys that have kind of had like a cup of coffee that you see that might be able to get in a game up from the goals?
Kevin Waugh has been a guy that's been called up previously this season, and a lot of Ducks fans really liked him. There's a Kevin Waugh fan club, as it was called, that was set up because of how well he was playing. He was playing very good with the team at the time, and he got ended up getting set down back to San Diego. He's been there ever since because everybody has come back healthy. I don't really see anybody coming up from San Diego just because they're in a playoff race of their own.
Right.
And I think the Ducks have enough depth outside the lineup. You know, Antoine Vermette's a scratch every now and then for most games. JT Brown's a guy who's out of the lineup on occasion. So is Chris Kelly. So you've got three guys you can go to who are routine scratches. I don't really see them needing to bring anybody up. But if they do, I would like to see Kevin Waugh. I feel like he brings a different aspect that you can plug in on the third line. Same with Troy Terry if he does get into the lineup. Those would be the two guys I'd focus on. Or maybe Cali Casilla, because we've seen him come up before and he's been a serviceable player. I just don't think they really go to anybody in San Diego.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, it's especially with the goals are obviously, like you said, in a playoff hunt of their own. But it's always interesting because you always have, like, you know, those X factors. I mean, obviously the roster limits go out the window and you never know who could come in as a black ace. And I just think black aces are fascinating.
Yeah. Like we've seen guys come in before and, you know, a lot of hope this year was that Sam Steele would get a nod here and there, but Regina's hosting the Memorial Cup. So his team's out of the playoffs, but they're bound for the Memorial Cup. They're not going to send him up. And Max Jones is playing with Kingston. He just came back from injury. So they're going to try and make a push. And Maxim Comtois, his team is also in the push for the Memorial Cup in the QMJHL. So all of our top prospects are really tied up with their teams and we're most likely not going to see them. And then again, with San Diego making a playoff push of their own, we don't get to see a lot of them this year. And the Ducks have been entrenched in a battle to get in the playoffs plus for the first time in five seasons. So we've seen all these guys before because they've locked up either, you know, a playoff spot pretty early. They've really been like ahead of most teams for the Pacific Division. And we've been able to see these guys mixed in the lineup. And now, of course, we don't get to see that this year.
That's fair.
Yeah. I guess it's like a double whammy of sorts because you have your minor league team, which was great. You're making your development is turning into potential contenders. That'll be perfect to have them come up to the team. Just can't help you right now. So I totally get that. But that's also a good problem to have. Let's talk special teams. It's a huge thing up here in San Jose where the PK has been pretty good this year. The power play has been roller coaster at best. What do you expect from the Ducks to have on their power play and for their penalty kill aspect? Because we all know that, you know, to make them pay for bad calls is a score on them when they have the power play.
Yeah, the Ducks' discipline has been a real issue for them this season. I think that's something they're going to have to shore up if they get into the playoffs, because the Sharks' power play not necessarily has been great this year. It's been better than the Ducks. I mean, in the past, you look at the Sharks and you're usually expecting them to be up in the top five, top 10 on their power play. And I think a lot of reason they're maybe not up there is that Joe Thornton's been injured since January. And he's such a big piece to their power play, but it's still better than Anaheim's. I mean, the Ducks' power play has been bad all year, and it surprises me because you look at the guys they can put out on this first unit in Getzlaf, Perry, Raquel, Montour, Fowler. You've got guys that it should be a good unit, and it really isn't. And I honestly feel like it's a systems thing with Randy Carlyle, because this team is about 2 years removed from having the best power play and the best penalty kill with the same guys. And that was when Paul MacLean was running the power play and the special teams with the Ducks. And now they're back down to 23rd, I think, is where they finished the season. And that's a big sore point for them. They're going to need to get that going if they're going to make any kind of noise. And special teams always seems to be an X factor in series. If you can really string together a good power play or a good penalty kill, it gives you a really good chance of moving on. So I think the Sharks have a definite edge there. Like, I'm going to be honest, I'm really worried about special teams for the Ducks going in, because, you know, looking at the penalty kill, even both teams have good penalty kills. I mean, the Sharks finished second and the Ducks finished fifth. But the difference there is I attribute a lot of the Ducks' penalty kill success to their goaltending. John Gibson and even Ryan Miller on most occasions as well have made that penalty kill a lot better than it really is. They've looked shaky at times. We've got guys like Derek Grant out on that penalty kill and guys you don't normally expect to really be out on a penalty kill. So I think it's inflated numbers, but I still think they're probably a top 10 penalty kill team, but not top five. And then, you know, you look at the Sharks, who are second, and their goaltending this year hasn't been consistent. Martin Jones and Aaron Dell have shared the crease. And I feel like more so the way they set up their system shows better for their second rank, if that makes sense. I think it's more credit to the way they line up and the players they have out there rather than goaltending for them being the second best penalty kill in the league.
Very fair. And speaking of which, you would know about Eric Fair and the San Diego goals. Sorry, it's a running joke up here, yeah, when we talk about Fair and such. But what did you see? I mean, I guess kind of in the backyard in San Diego with Fair, and what concerns you about the Ducks overall as in regards to the Sharks coming to town?
I think the most thing that concerns me with the Sharks is their consistent depth scoring. I feel like they set up a lot better than the Ducks do. And I think they're more consistent. I mean, that first line scares me a lot in Donskoy, Pavelski, and Evander Kane. They've been great since Evander Kane has come over. And then you've got such a reliable second unit in Kucher, Hurdle, and Bodker. And then even that third pairing with Chris Tierney, Timo Meier, and Kevin LeBanc. I mean, that's such an underrated third line. I feel like it's one of those that can hurt you if they get a favorable matchup. That's what really scares me the most, because I don't know what we're going to get from Ryan Kesler and his line. And we know Adam Henrique and their line on the third line for the Ducks can be good, but at times they can disappear from some games. So that's what worries me the most, is I don't know if the Ducks' depth scoring is going to really match up well with what the Sharks can offer consistently.
Oh, I guess that's me now. I mean, definitely depth scoring's is going to be an interesting thing. I do like, though, I think of Anaheim, like, obviously you want John Gibson to go, but
yeah,
I mean, Ryan Miller is not exactly a terrible option going in backup. Yeah. I mean, he's had a, you know, you look at the numbers, he's had a surprisingly good year. You know, how confident are you if Ryan Miller has to come into some games that he can, you know, based on what he's done this season, how confident do you think Ducks fans are that he can come steal a couple games if he has to?
More confident than last year with Jonathan Bernier. So that's the best I can say. I mean, Jonathan Bernier is going to be forever remembered for his exploits against the Nashville Predators last year in the Western Conference Finals. So I definitely confident. I don't want him to play, obviously, for the entire playoffs. The goal is to have John Gibson healthy and carry this team throughout the playoffs. But if he has to come in and play a couple games, he's proven that he's more than capable to do so. I mean, his raw save percentage is .928. He's got a 12-6-6 record, 4 shutouts. He's been good when called upon. He's been called upon in difficult situations. Every time that John Gibson has gone out hurt this game, and Ryan Miller has had to come in some weird situations and fill in cold in the middle of the game. I mean, there was one time this year where he came in, I believe, in the third period, and he faced no shots and got a no-save shutout, and which was weird to say the least, but he's a guy you can rely upon. He has the experience with Buffalo in the past of going deep in the playoffs, and you know, that's invaluable. That's what I've said with the Vegas Golden Knights and having Marc-Andre Fleury and having that experience on the back end. If you have to throw him in there for a couple games, I feel like he has what it takes to get it done. But over an entire playoffs, if he's your main guy, I'm not sure he has enough stuff left to really carry a team all the way.
Sure. No, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, John Gibson's the guy you want in net. Yes. But it's nice still to have that option where if you go back. And I feel like the Sharks, you know, would be somewhat confident in Arendelle, although Arendelle's really hasn't played any playoff games to come in. But yeah, I mean, if I had the choice between Ryan Miller and Arendelle, I'd probably go with Ryan Miller based on the season he's had this year. You know, if in spot duty, I mean, obviously John Gibson's the guy you want there, but it's nice to have that backup cushion where you're not like, oh God, it's the backup now. This game's over. I'm turning it off. I'm done. This is garbage.
It's nice to have that nice feeling in a backup this year, because last year was, I mean, Jonathan Bernier, for his credit, had a good regular season and he saved the Ducks at times when John Gibson was out, but he's going to always be remembered for that game against Nashville. And we really haven't felt this comfortable in a backup since the Ducks had both Frederik Andersen and John Gibson, to some extent when they had Hiller as well. So it's been better this season, and it's nice to see that. But the way John Gibson has played, I mean, he's put himself in the consideration, or at least to get a couple votes for the Vezina, to not have him or to be questionable for game one is scary. It really is, because I mean, he has been a big proponent for the Ducks' success all season. He's going to be the biggest piece pretty much for them if they're going to go anywhere in these playoffs. And you know, we still don't really know what his injury was, because it's one of those weird upper body ones, like I'd mentioned. So I'm hoping he's 100% ready to go. I don't want to thrust him in there if he's not, but they're going to rely upon him a lot to really make any kind of push.
Gotcha. All right. Prognostication time. No pressure. We won't come back at you with a Lynch or anything, but Eddie, who do you have and why?
Oh boy, I asked Ian the same question on this, and I reminded him he was on a Ducks podcast, and now I'm sitting here on a Sharks podcast, and I have to give my
hated by everyone. It's
fine. I have to give my honest opinion.
Totally understandable. Yes.
I had the Ducks in seven, but it was a very, very difficult decision, because I was swaying a couple different ways. I don't think this series ends any earlier than a game six. And I think there's a lot of factors riding into it, including goaltending, special teams, forward depth. But I'm banking on the Ducks having that depth scoring in Kessler and that line stepping up, and Henrique and their line stepping up, and John Gibson being 100% healthy. Because I feel like John Gibson can win four games for this team on his own. And that's why I have the Ducks in seven, because I feel like all the factors that the Sharks can have to win is definitely enough to win them this series. I just feel like John Gibson is that X factor where he can take them probably to a couple games they don't deserve to win, but he's going to be the guy that wins it for them. But it'll be close. It will be close. I wouldn't be surprised if the Sharks ended up winning this in six or seven either.
If there's one thing Sharks fans know, it's goalies winning them winning the opponent games they don't have no business winning. Sharks know this very well.
Especially if you do start Miller, and all due respect with Ryan Miller having the resume that he's had for years as a starting goaltender, the Sharks' kryptonite seems to be backup goaltenders. So if you do start Miller, needless to say, you're going to have many fans in Teal very, very nervous.
Very
quick. For sure, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be such an interesting series, because we talked about this too. It reignites the rivalry between the Ducks and the Sharks, because it's always talked about the Kings and the Ducks and being one of the better rivals in the National Hockey League, and how it's always so crazy in those games. But you know, the Ducks and Sharks play each other enough in the regular season, and they're always close games. They're always physical games, and you don't really hear a lot about it. And now we get the first playoff series since 2009. I'm hoping it really ignites that rivalry again, because they need it. I mean, they're always good games every time they play.
Yeah, they've been Unbelievable. Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say. I mean, I think the at first, you know, I was really kind of pulling for another Sharks Kings series, but now that we've got the Ducks, I mean, I'm really excited about it because I think that, you know, these teams play each other really hard, and I think that it's kind of a forgotten rivalry. Like it's definitely there. Like I don't think it's, you know, it's not you know, it's not Detroit Colorado dead rivalry, but it, you know, without the playoff series, it's, you know, the playoffs really bring out the rivalries, and it's going to be really cool to have that, you know, that Ducks Sharks reignited full bore because we haven't really had in a while. I mean, we've had some really good regular season games, but nothing, you know, nothing gets the hatred flowing like a good best of seven series.
Maybe even we'll. Sorry, I was going to say, maybe we'll see Getzlaff and Thornton fight off the face-off. But Thornton's obviously not going to be in the lineup, but if he was, that would be a great thing to kick
him off. He might come over the boards. We never know.
Yeah, who knows? Or well, we don't have Ryan Clough to play a puck or something, right? But, you mentioned Thornton and Getzlaff. Those are two players of the few that are left from when they took on each other in 2009. We were talking about this before. It was who was it for the Ducks?
Getzlaff, Perry, and Boschman are the only ones left over.
Yeah,
so
and
it's not a lot.
Yeah, I would think there's a little more than that. I would say Vlasic. Help me out here, Ian. Vlasic, Podolski, Thornton.
There's definitely more Sharks. I think the thing I like though about this series though is the players that the Ducks, like you know, you bring up a Ryan Kesler. Ryan Kesler is no stranger to the Sharks.
Yeah.
Like
he's been around there all the time, even with Kevin Bjerkstrand
going back to Vancouver, right? Yeah, so I mean there's still players on the Ducks that, you know, they're gonna have no problem finding their hatred for San Jose really quick.
Yeah, yeah, and Cogliano played for Edmonton back in the day too, so he saw his fair share of the Sharks, and I mean it doesn't take a lot to kick these teams off and really get these feisty games going. I mean it's gonna be crazy, and Evander Kane adds to that too. I mean it's not like the Ducks have any history with Evander Kane, but he's that type of player that likes to play on the edge as well, so he's gonna be a guy that just mixes it up and makes it that much more feisty as well.
Evander Kane might have to fight Getzlaff in Thornton's stead.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, if it's anything, we expect the unexpected when it's Kings and Ducks, Kings and Sharks, Sharks and Ducks.
Really, I mean,
It's just, you know, it's the Bermuda Triangle of pain there. Like you just have all this this hatred between these three teams. It's always great. Like anytime any of those three teams line up, it's great. And to get that, you know, and to get that again, that back in the playoffs between the Sharks and Ducks is just, I think, really what the doctor ordered for that rivalry.
Yeah, and it's been so good because they've all been good at the same time too. It's not like we've always had, you know, two of them not being one's not good, and then you've got the rivalry, and the one team's just bad, so you just roll over them. But the Sharks, Ducks, and Kings have all really been good for the last while now, and it's really kicked off those rivalries and been able to really get them going, and that's why I'm so excited about this Ducks Sharks series. Like I said, it's just we see it, you know, us and Ducks fans and Sharks fans see it all season, but not a lot of people on the outside looking in get to see how competitive these two teams are when they play each other. Like the talking point is always, it's always Ducks and Kings when they play each other. But I think this is close. It might not be right up to that level, but it is definitely close in how much these teams hate each other. And it's going to just be nerve-wracking, exciting, anxious to watch this series. It's going to be a tight one. All these games between the Ducks and Sharks are always really, really close games. So it'll be a fun one, but it's going to be nail-biting for a lot of people.
Definitely check it out on the Golf Channel later this week. No, sorry, I had to get that little one in there. I'm sorry. But it's a fun thing to talk about, but it's going to be a fun series. It's going to be a tough series. It's going to be, you hope that
it's gonna be worth
people aren't coming. Oh, for sure. For sure. It's going to be an epic series, and hopefully one that everybody will remember about for a long time. And nonetheless, it's going to be enjoyable and exciting. But that's what the playoffs are all about. So, yeah. Eddie, tell people where they can find you on Twitter and all your stuff one more time.
Yep. So you can find me at Eddie Van Jones on Twitter. I as you can expect, I tweet mostly about the Ducks, and I'll be tweeting heavily during the playoffs. You can find us at Ducks and Pucks on Twitter for the podcast and for the blog. And you can find our post-game show at Forever Mighty F. them on Twitter. And if any Ducks fans listen, even Sharks fans, if you want, we run a contest on there right now where we do it's like a first goal prediction. Most teams do it. You predict the Ducks' first goal, you predict the final score, and we have a random one every time. But we're working with Cool Hockey, and you have a chance to win a jersey if you end up being the monthly winner. So if anybody wants to come out and enter that contest, you just got to predict three things before the game. I'm sure most of you are on Twitter already. So if you want to come over, enter the contest, you've got a chance to win a jersey at the end of the playoffs.
Absolutely. Now that you mentioned jersey, one last question. As the logo jersey geek, your favorite Ducks jersey of all time?
It has to be the away eggplant jersey back in the day. The teal and purple. I have the Korea one up on my wall over there. I had to go with the orange for the show because it's painted orange, but I was so tempted to pull out the Korea back in the day one. But yeah, that has to be my favorite. I mean, everybody loves those jerseys. The teal and purple, and I mean, I don't think they'll ever bring them back, but just some kind of, I mean, we always look forward to the throwback nights when they get to wear them again. Nice. Because it's just fun to see them, but it's such a nice jersey, so that has to be my favorite.
I think the thing that made me the most sad was with the new jerseys coming in this year, that obviously no one had the alternates, because the Ducks alternates were one of my favorites.
Yeah, I had to grab this one because they stopped selling them. So I had to grab this one right last minute when I found out they weren't doing it, because I wanted to get this one before they stopped selling it, because it's impossible to get them after. I mean, the Stadium Series jerseys are insane. I got one when I went, and people are still trying to find them because they're just almost impossible to get now.
No, and I would hope if the Ducks were paying any attention to their fans that their orange jersey comes back, and it definitely has that Mighty Ducks logo on it.
I want it back.
Yes.
I can't work. It's but man, if I could swallow enough
vomit to actually buy it,
to wear it, a Ducks jersey, that would be the one I would wear.
Yeah.
No, I'm a jersey collector, so I do have a Wild Wing third jersey. So that one.
That's a nice one. Yeah.
That's the one that. But that's a collector's item. So
yeah,
some of those 90s thirds, man. Those were that was a great time for sweaters.
The St. Louis Blues, the note one is like iconic. That one is just that one's pretty bad.
Burger King, Burger King.
Oh my god. Man.
Some of those great sweaters. All right, I'm done.
Islanders ones. Eddie Jones, thank you so much. Appreciate.
No problem.
I would like to say all the best, but I don't. But yeah. No, seriously, all the best to you and continued success.
Yeah, I mean, we know the grind of the post game, so I mean, kudos to you to picking that up, because I mean, we have a small group of us, and I think we've for 3 seasons now where we haven't missed a game,
The East Coast grind too, right? The East Coast grind, the 10:30 games when the game finishes at 2 a.m. you're doing a post game show.
Oh, yeah.
I've done many of those, and I remember. I remember the year we went to face the Penguins, and I remember, you know, we lost, and I was disappointed, but I was also relieved, and I'm done for the summer.
They're all 10:30 games to start too, so it's as late as you can possibly get. We're gonna be up till about 2 or 3 in the morning doing these shows. So.
Oh gosh, in heaven forbid if it even goes into quadruple overtime or anything like that.
It's gonna be morning. It's gonna be light out by the time we're done recording the show.
Oh my gosh! All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And check out Eddie on Twitter at Eddie Van Jones, EDDY Van Jones. Thanks so much. Thanks for tuning in to another TealTownUSA.com podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and always subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we do Teal Town After Dark after every single Sharks game, home and away. Keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal.